In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of God's Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. Out of all of the spiritual disciplines there are in this world, I think fasting is the one that is hardest to grasp. I mean, scripture reading is easy enough. There are literally how many Bibles in this room? Prayer is something that we can do almost without thinking about it. Next week, we talk about community, which again is something, at least in this room, we can do without thinking about it. But fasting is the one that makes us run for the hills and say, no, fasting is not my thing. Well, as one person described it, fasting is literally starving our flesh in order to further feed our spirit. And I find it interesting that in the gospel reading this morning, of course, the temptation of Christ is after his baptism. So he's been baptized by John the Baptist in the river, and the Spirit of the Lord's come down and said, "This is my Son in whom I am well pleased. Listen to him." And then he goes off in the wilderness for 40 days. And fasts. And so by the time the devil gets ready to have his time with Jesus, the poor boy is starving. I mean, this is 40 days and nights of fasting. And in fasting in those days, they didn't eat anything. It was a hearkening back to the 40 years of wilderness traveling that the Jews did on their way out of Egypt to the Promised Land as they wandered for 40 years in the wilderness doing nothing but manna. So Jesus spent his 40 days fasting and getting right with God and preparing for his adult ministry in this world. And then here comes Satan to tempt him. And the first words out of his mouth are, "My golly, you've been fasting for 40 days. Man, you must be hungry. Why don't you turn those rocks into bread?" I mean, Jesus could have done it. He was physically capable of doing so. This is the man who turned water into wine at the wedding when his mother was nagging him. Fully human, fully divine, he had the power of God. He very well could have turned those rocks into bread, but he didn't. And what did he say? He said, no, because I know full well that humanity cannot live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the Lord. What Jesus set for us was that there is more to being fed than sitting at table for a meal. There is more to being spiritually fed than having communion. That there's more to it than that. And so, if you take that with the definition that fasting is starving our flesh in order to further feed our spirit, you wonder, how then can I fast? Like I told the kids, I'm the last person who can skip a meal. I'm also the last person who willingly sit down and eat by myself. I don't enjoy the headache that comes with it, so that's why I have a cupboard full of soup. It's like, oh, yeah, I got to eat something. I'll warm up some soup. But spiritual fasting is more than skipping three meals on a specific day. Spiritual fasting is giving up that desire of the flesh that takes you away from building your spirit. So, maybe we turn the TV off for a day. Maybe we give up gossip for a day. Should give up gossip every day, but we'll start with one. Maybe we give up the stuff that's really bad for us, the chocolate and the caffeine and the soda pop and all the other stuff that's really good but really bad. Maybe we make the laundry list of the things that separate us from God because given the choice between spending some time with the Lord and spending some time doing this thing, we'd pick this thing every time. For me, it's like, put the crochet hook away. Put the sewing away. Put the coloring away. Put the music away. You know how hard that is for me to not be able to sing today? Oh. A.W. Tozer says, we have as much of God as we actually want. We have exactly as much of God as we want. So, if you're going to live a life and you're going to change your outlook on things and say, I want more Jesus in my life, then you have to empty this hand of whatever it is that keeps you away from him. You have to give up that thing that keeps you away from spending time with your Lord and Savior. And pick up, with your now empty hand, that time to spend with him. Maybe what Isaiah was saying might be a good spot to start. Because he was a little upset in this, right? God bless Isaiah. He had all kinds of stuff going on. And he says, is this the kind of fast I choose? A day of self-affliction, of bending one's head like a reed, and of lying down in mourning clothes and ashes? Is this what you call a fast? A day acceptable to the Lord? Isn't this the fast I choose? Releasing wicked restraints, untying the ropes of a yoke, setting free the mistreated, and breaking every yoke? Isn't it sharing your bread with the hungry and bringing the homeless poor into your house and covering the naked when you see them and not hiding from your own family? Do you see what he does there in the scripture? He sets what one person says a fast should be and what the fast he chooses actually is. He sets an example for us. Releasing wicked restraints, untying the ropes of a yoke, setting free the mistreated, breaking every yoke, sharing your bread with the hungry, and bringing the homeless poor into your house, and covering the naked when you see them, and not hiding from your own family. It's like the potato bar last night. It would have been very easy for me to stay home and finish watching the Michigan-Michigan State game. It would have been easy for me to stay home and watch the Ohio State-Purdue game. It would have been so much easier to stay home and literally do anything else but go stand behind the steam bar passing out broccoli and chili. But because the food pantry needs us, because the people who come to the food pantry need us, because God needs us to be his hands and feet in this world, you give up sitting in the lazy boy watching the box, and you go do your service. We raised almost $3,500 for the food pantry last night. This community did that. The amount of food that buys for somebody who is food insecure in this county is astonishing. The distance we can make that money go for the food insecure in this county is astonishing. The fast we choose is not necessarily just to give up the video game or the TV or the chocolate, but instead it is both and. You give up the one to take up the other. You give up the football game to take up the scoop so that you can help serve your neighbors. You give up the sitting at home so that you can go be part of the bigger picture. It's about being closer to your Creator, and that's the truth of every spiritual discipline. If you do something as a spiritual discipline, then the end goal of it has to be that you are closer to God. If you are doing something that, and you call it a spiritual discipline, but the end result is not that you are closer to God or have a better understanding of your Creator, then you're doing it wrong. I get caught up in that all the time. It's like, yep, this is my spiritual discipline. Well, no, really, it's not. It's my Christina discipline because it's what I do to recover myself. And yes, there's godliness in that. But it's about being able to say, I did this for the glory of God. And it's not about me, and it's not about why I did it. It's about who is affected because of it. So when you think about spiritual fasting, it is not that you skip Monday night dinner or that you go all day Wednesday without eating anything. Yes, that's a valid form of fasting, but it's also that you pick up something so that you are closer to God with it. It is giving up something so that you can pick up a little more Jesus in your life. That's true of fasting, and it's true of every other spiritual discipline out there. So my prayer is that when you think about these things, and when you go home with the spiritual discipline list and the whatever it is, that you have some kind of inkling of what it is that you can do to increase your relationship with your Creator. It's not because I'm asking you to do it. It's because it's important for your relationship with your God. Because when you strengthen your relationship with your God, we have a better understanding of who He is. And our light shines brighter because of it. How cool is it that we worship that kind of God? That we were created by that kind of God? As a pastor colleague of mine said, may the bodacious grace of God be with us. Amen.